Crossover.
Oh, killer crossover.
Just crossover.
It just crossed him over. Absolutely.
Another victim to the crossovers. Cross him up and sit him down.
The Crossover is brought to you by William Hill Caesars Sports on 1620 The Zone.
Time for the Crossover. Gary Sharp Show starts now featuring Josh. Good morning. Mr. Sharp, how are you doing, sir?
Good morning.
How you
good
feeling?
Good Monday.
You feeling
morning.
Better? You sound good.
Yeah. Finally, it took me about 10 days to get over a cold.
You weren't getting much rest, too. That's got to be part of the problem.
And then it was all of a sudden 70 here. Now it's 25 outside.
So strange.
Yeah,
it's going to be 60 next week. We're going to have a day, supposedly, 65 next week.
I hope not. Let's transition. It's winter now.
No. Global warming. That's okay. We'll have a little bout here. Like, today is good. It reminds people that where we live in this country. And then go back to, you know, where I can wear shorts again.
You will be able to come April.
No. I like so.
Very soon.
So I've now been able to golf in every month in Omaha since March.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. Played golf the other day. So we have crossed it off. First time I've ever played
golf
in December in Nebraska.
That's crazy. Of course, they're still letting you get out there.
Well, you know, not everybody's open because they've kind of shut them down.
You're like, I just walk out there. I don't care. I just want, doesn't matter if you're open. I'm going to play golf.
I just act like I'm, you know, looking for balls, and all of a sudden I have clubs, and oh my God, he's
like
teeing
Bill,
off.
He's
hey,
Bill
how
Murray.
How come nobody else is out here?
Well, I'm sure they're inside. They're doing stuff.
Next Wednesday, 62 degrees.
All right.
And hopefully that's it. Let's get this thing right.
No, why? Why?
I mean, it's just doing too much, man. I want a white Christmas.
No, I don't need a white Christmas. Cold weather's fine. Oh, just don't have the wind blow. It's fine.
You don't want the snow for Christmas?
I don't want snow. I don't want wind. Just it could be cold. It's fine.
Oh, no, man. Yeah. That's part of it.
Kids like it.
Well, you know, that's great. I used to live in a place where it was 75 on Christmas, and you're like, wow, this just doesn't feel like Christmas, does it?
That's right. In New
and
Orleans,
then you get used to
that.
It.
Yeah, same thing. We go out after midnight mass. We do all the exchanges. About 3:30 in the morning, you'd go outside with your brand new football and throw it around in the front of the house, and it'd be like 71 degrees, and you're out there sweating.
Hey,
wasn't bad.
You think Oregon will hire Manny Diaz today?
Wouldn't that be amazing?
That was embarrassing.
That's NFL. That it made NFL coaching trades like that.
I don't know how
you
could how that thing got so public like
yes,
that.
It's not good.
Well, so here's like the difference in really buttoned up good athletic directors. The USC and Oklahoma stuff, you hardly heard anything about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, kind of after a while, it was like, okay, maybe Brent Venables is inevitable, but no inkling until yesterday when Joe C was spotted at Venables Lake House in Clemson. Which, by the way, I believe is not very far from where Trev Albert's house is.
Ooh.
So other than that, they didn't leak anything. And you've got other places that it's all over the map. But the problem at Miami is they don't have an athletic director. They really don't have a president that cares about athletics or knows anything about athletics. So you have three boosters that are running it that all of a sudden got the green light that they could use money from the university health system to do a buyout of one coach and another coach and hire another coach. And they're like, this is too good to be true.
$25 million for that whole exchange.
Mm-hmm.
Paying off, hiring. That's incredible to think about.
$25 million. It's now I think for Miami people, they hope it's the end of the dysfunction that has reigned over Miami athletics for a good 10 years.
What about
years.
The stuff above that? Isn't there going to still be this?
Oh, no. I think.
Is that going away too?
I think those people are going to go away.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And you'll get an AD in that can handle all that.
Yes. Okay. You'll get an AD that I think people respect.
That's the key.
Well, that's the key.
That is the key.
The rumored name would do that.
Yeah, I mean, the guy from Clemson has got a nice little track record.
Sure.
I don't know. There's just a lot of challenges at Miami. But
challenges.
Bringing Mario home is something. I mean, it seems like this has been rumored
Mario.
For years and years and years. And they finally got him. And and Miami is paying a football coach $8 million.
Yep.
Hey,
that is crazy.
And that dude
more than
can
buy out for the other one.
That dude can recruit.
Now, you think as a Miami kid coming back home that he might have some success?
Yeah.
I don't know. I have no idea. Every time I think I know for sure, you never know.
I know when he was at when he was at FIU, he was really really good in recruiting. I mean, he was not beating his alma mater.
Yeah.
But he was like finalist for some really good players that Miami ended up getting because of Mario, and he's a Miami guy, and he's like, sell, sell, sell.
Now, and he likes recruiting.
He loves recruiting. He loves recruiting. But it's not, you know, from his time at Miami and the time that he was there at a different school, it's changed. Everybody is in the three-county area.
Yeah.
So you've got to be able to find the right players to get them to stay and build relationships. But the fact that he played for the U, you'll have all of those alums that so desperately want that program to be good, they will come out of the woodwork supporting him. I mean, I think they'll. It's going to be a weird day because, you know, some of those same alums really like Manny Diaz because he's a South Florida guy. I mean, his dad used to be the mayor of Miami. They supported him. Right. Now, all of a sudden, you know, they dropped off when things didn't go so well.
Sure.
Now, Cristobal will be announced, and it will be like a party down there, guaranteed. But he'll be different than Diaz. He won't be like, okay, here's our staff. We're coming in on a boat like Manny Diaz did. They went to a party, and he brought his staff in on a boat. Mario Cristobal will be more like a blue-collar Miami guy, which doesn't necessarily sound right.
That'd be tough to leave Oregon and all that money.
And everything that you have there, facilities,
well,
money,
I think they'll probably commitment. Come out. He's very, very close to his mom.
Yeah.
And
yes,
his
right,
mom
sure.
lives in Miami.
I get it.
And his mom's getting up there in age. I and his mom that. Can't travel to Eugene to see the family.
Couldn't you move her?
I don't think...
She didn't want to move.
No, she...
Because my mom, you'd be like, look, babe, I'm you want to move? Come on, I'll buy you a house.
She sounds like someone that...
buy you a nice house.
Grew up there, lived there, yeah. and going to stay there.
Yeah, I guess. The biggest difference between Florida and Louisiana is that kids love staying in Louisiana for whatever reason. I don't know why. It seems like Florida kids are more willing to leave. So it seems like a little bit harder to recruit Florida kids than it is Louisiana kids. Just
yeah, I don't know if I'm in a hurry to go from Broward or Dade to, you know, Eugene. It'd be quite a lifestyle change.
Mm-hmm.
Quite a lifestyle change.
But you have to give them a reason. It's just like around here. You got to give kids a reason to stay.
See, your girlfriend went with the ponytail today, Michael.
Now, see, there's a difference. I enjoy her work.
You got a thing for Kim Adams?
I enjoy her work. I think she does a very good job. She's not in my wheelhouse anyway, so she's not quite my girl, but I enjoy her work. I think she is great at her job.
That's why it always ends up on this channel.
Yeah, I like
that's
watching.
That's a good show.
I think she
good
does great. Oh, it's a great show, yeah. I mean, they are so creative
she
in
did,
what they do.
She did sidelines during the Chiefs exhibition
she did.
Game. She did a really nice job.
She did it again this last week. She did sidelines again, so she's trying to work her way up.
At what point did you...
Remember her and Chris Jones were doing yoga.
Check the box score to see if Andy Reid had called a run play.
He's an interesting cat.
Wasn't it funny how Vic Fangio was coaching that game last night expecting the Chiefs offense to explode?
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
And
yes,
they
exactly.
Just never exploded.
Didn't. Yeah. Yes. I'm not a fan of his. I'm not a fan of his.
Not Fangio, of right?
Zimmer, any of those guys. I don't like him. I don't like him.
Seen his act up close.
Not
boy,
a
he's
fan.
He's hard on his players.
A quarterback or a head coach, you're going to walk into a good situation in Denver. If they also figure out their front office on what they're going to do with Elway. I think they. I like Denver.
He's
I mean, I like how they drafted the last couple of years.
Yes, I was gonna say he's drafted much better the last couple of years.
But they're in a good. Denver's in a good spot if they get the right head coach and a quarterback. But look at the last two head coaches and the last couple of quarterbacks. They have not been good enough to beat Kansas City. Or now that the Chargers are emerging in that division, can they beat the Chargers? But I don't know. That was. It's a win. I mean, Kansas City's 8-4, and they've won 5 in a row, and all of a sudden they're a defensive team. So it's not sustainable, I don't believe, but they just keep winning, and the rest of the AFC just kind of keeps showing up.
I was close.
He was,
David,
he was in
25.
Carolina when I was there, and he just is hard on his players, boy. He's our DC. Ooh, I watch him and Kevin. He was tough on his guys.
Vic Fangio?
Yeah. Tough on his guys.
So I don't blame him last night. I mean, he knew that you cannot settle for field goals, but it was just kind of, again, funny that he was expecting Kansas City's offense just to burst out. But once they drove 20 plays and didn't get any points, that was kind of the end of the game.
First drive for Kansas City, 30 rush yards, 52 pass yards.
And they finished with 54 for the game.
It was 30.
You know what? Hey, that opening drive looked like a typical Andy Reid drive out of a bye. He knew exactly what Denver was going to do defensively. It's the first 15 plays, and they looked fantastic.
And then after that, they had a 20 rush yard, a 2, a 4, an 11, and an 8, four in terms of rushing yards on drives.
Well, just look at the tail end when they kind of had to run out the clock. They really struggled.
Yeah. 10 yards rushing in the second to last drive. 4 in the third to last drive when they were trying to run out the clock, as you mentioned.
And Cincinnati didn't do you guys any favors. They could have really put some distance in that one. But
hey, thank you, though. You did us favors.
Yeah. Enjoy that tie for first, potentially.
Thank you.
See, I thank Lamar Jackson for not being able to throw it 4 yards. Well, actually, closer to 8 if you count the width, but still.
Are we allowed here today to critique Lamar Jackson? Because he was terrible yesterday.
I critique him all the time.
He's been bad a couple weeks in a row.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago.
Haven't scored more than 20 points in a while.
Well, they have yet to score on an opening drive.
Hey, his decision-making, that interception he threw in the middle of the end zone early in the game.
Oh, the one that Minka went and got? The Hail Mary?
Yeah. Back foot, sidearm, three-quarter. I mean, he does that all the time. And a lot of times, they've won 6-7 games where it's been 6 or fewer in terms of margin of victory. 5 of those were 3 or fewer. They've been winning these close games just because of their defense and they're a great coach. It's not because of their quarterback.
Well, he's got to complete that pass. Yeah. That was a great play call.
Yeah, it was.
He's got to hit it.
It was, man.
I love
you can see it developing. It was in slow-mo for me.
I love that they went for it. Harbaugh was absolutely right. What he said after the game, and I'm glad he was honest. He said,
well, he did it right away. Did you see after they scored and they panned to the sidelines?
And then after it happened, he kind of just smiled and nodded his head. It's like, I gave it my best.
It's about execution. That was a great play call. They had it. You executed. Andrews walks into the end zone, and you win a football game.
They keep adding more and more wide receiver talent. The question was 2 years ago, but look at the talent around him. They don't have any height. They keep adding more and more talent around him, but yet he still makes a lot of the same mistakes.
His decision-making last night at key moments outside of the final drive that he hooked up with Watkins to get to the two-point conversion.
Yeah.
Just, man, he also has taken sacks again.
It's just been really bad the last 3 or 4 weeks because, remember, he was on a pace those first 4 or 5 games better than his MVP season. And then all of a sudden, it's just come to a screeching halt.
Yeah, and they were, you know, no matter who was back there, they were running the ball really well early, too. And no matter who was back there, didn't matter. Smith or whoever else, Murray came in. Mm-hmm. They're still running the ball okay, but not like they were early in the season.
Isn't it interesting in the NFL, because now we're getting into the year where guys are injured, they're out for the year, so you got to go their second, third, fourth running back. Running backs just kind of show up, and they have like 2 or 3 games where they do really well. Like, I'm looking last night. Like, Javonte Williams is going to be I think he's a long-term guy.
He's a dog. He's a dog.
He's a good fantasy guy to have, too, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
And then they have Boone, who was on the scrap heap from the Vikings, and he looks pretty good. You look around the league, there's, like, no-name running backs that continue to do well this time of the year.
Well, I watched Latavius Murray catch a 6-yard pass and run 13 yards past 4 Steelers, so it was like...
Good thing it was 3rd and 20.
Apparently, he's fast again, too, because...
good thing it was 3rd and 20.
I don't know why nobody could catch him. I was like, really? That's what we're on today, guys? Just... A little dump off and let a guy just run by 4 of you. All right, this is going to be
Derrick Henry's been gone for 5 weeks. Is that right? 5 or 6? 5? 5. He's still 3rd in rushing.
Yeah.
He's got 3. He's got 937. Mixon has passed him, and, you know, Jonathan Taylor way past him, but he's still 3rd.
Kind of a little depressing about that position.
Well, you could have, and I like Najee Harris, but people gush over him way too much. That guy misses a lot of holes. I mean, he makes a lot of those hard runs a lot harder than they have to be. He's the king of putting his hand on an offensive lineman. Now, and they've been bad up front. But, man, there's just some easier – he just makes it hard on himself. Like, it doesn't have to be that tough.
Yeah, he's a better receiver than he is natural runner.
Did Big Ben
– I agree.
Big Ben's now good till 23 now after yesterday's classic.
They had their whole secondary was hurt. That's fool's gold.
Oh, no, I think you should stick around.
Put me in line for one of these veteran quarterbacks next year.
Hey, give him one more year.
They would never bring Watson to Pittsburgh, but, God, that would be
give
nice.
Him one more year.
Ezekiel Elliott
one more year for Big Ben.
Tony Pollard are combined for 1,300 yards rushing.
Got to go.
Those two guys combined for 1,300. That's how much Jonathan Taylor has.
He's so pretty to watch.
1,348.
Hey.
And Pollard and Ezekiel Elliott.
He's a guy that doesn't run into the backs of people.
Hey, Jonathan Taylor needs to win some awards this year.
Dude, he's saucy.
Yeah, it's hard. You know, it's really hard to win an MVP. Adrian Peterson did it. He had to go over 2,000. But if you start looking at why your team is winning, which is MVP, right? Supposed to be most valuable player. Not the best. Mm-hmm. Not the best on the best team. Why do they win games?
Well, he's pretty silky.
Even when they came back 2 weeks ago when they had quit running the ball, how'd they come back at the end? Running the ball.
Jonathan Taylor.
Right.
Now, Aaron Rodgers is going to have something to say about that.
Oh, there's no doubt.
I think it's Rodgers and Brady.
Here's the problem.
Now.
You know who votes for that award?
I would take Taylor over Brady right now.
You know who votes for that award?
What could Brady without Gronk?
Yeah, they didn't have anybody.
He looked pretty
yesterday.
Average.
The media votes for that award.
Gronk plays and Brady's different. Always.
That's the problem. Because I like Rodgers as he should be. Look where he is.
Those
he's
two
like 6th or 7th in the odds. I think they know the media won't vote for him because of what's happened over the last 2 months.
See, that's ridiculous. Like,
I know it's sad, but I think it's okay.
Come on, Aaron Rodgers is
no, he's balling. Playing great.
And you're going to hold that against him?
He didn't play in a game, and they scored 7 points. He's valuable.
Aaron Rodgers is...
And he's going to put up monster numbers against Matt Nagy and the Bears.
But I don't think he's going to have a chance
to win. What is Nagy doing, though? We were playing against the Cardinals. And so I just turned it over to Red Zone while I was folding clothes in the afternoon. And I'm like, at what point did you think, man, Dalton gives us the best chance to win? He can't even play catch.
No. Well, they
is he the only healthy quarterback?
I think Nick Foles is.
Nicky's healthy?
Yeah.
I'm like, what are we doing?
How do you think, like I there's a part of me that feels for Bears fans because they are in hell. And they obviously might get a boot. Why don't they fire Nagy now going into the Green Bay game to see if it has any impact
whatsoever?
Supposedly
they have never fired a coach in season before, like in the history of the organization.
I mean, he's a dead man walking.
No doubt.
They're brutal.
Yeah.
That's bad, man.
And somehow they kept keeping it close enough to where you were like, oh, they may end up covering this. Well,
You know what? The only solace might be, right?
Yeah, it was 21-14 or something, and then like.
Well, then there was a Dalton pick coming.
Yeah.
Well, if I'm a Bears fan, I'm looking at Arizona. I'm going.
Kyler Murray was the number. Yeah, yeah.
I got Justin Fields, the future. That was a painful game. It's painful to be a Bears fan. I don't know what's worse in the NFC North, being a Bears fan or a Vikings fan. And you might fire both your head coaches.
I think Schaefer had to lose his mind yesterday.
And Campbell tried to give that game away.
Yeah. I think the tease of it.
My man went for a 4th-and-1 from the 29.
That was crazy. That was at the decisions I'm like, made. I was like, he's trying to lose this game.
Wow.
Yeah. Again, kind of like the Giants kicking a field goal.
And you know who lost the game for the
Vikings?
Rushing 3 and putting other 8 guys 10 yards back in the end zone?
Their coaching staff. All you have to do is run the ball. Let them use their timeout, run the ball on 3rd down, kick the field goal, and there's no time left. You score the touchdown, which they wanted you to do, then they get the ball with a chance to go down and score. Have we not done this in Madden?
But wait a minute, though. They acted like, especially on the first couple runs, that they weren't going to let them score. Because even the announcers were trying to speak it into existence. They're like, well, the Lions have a decision to make. Do they let them score? And it was – so what was it? It was like when they got the 1st down – was that on about the 5 or 6 yard line? Because they scored. Was that on 3rd down they scored with Jefferson?
I think it was second or 3rd down.
Yes.
So, and that gave them the ball back with like, what, a minute 19?
They had a chance to run the ball again and tick it down to under, what, a minute 30. They had a chance to run it again and get it under 30.
Well, I think Jefferson's touchdown was on 3rd down. Wasn't it?
Let me see. I think it was third and goal with 1:54.
Yeah.
So you run the ball there, and then you can burn a clock down to
40 seconds.
120.
119.
120. Yep, around there. Yep.
That was. But even before my man went for it, and he called a timeout, I was like, "Oh yeah, he was just playing." Nah, my dude went for it. Like, how could you imagine what Lions? And they booed. They were getting their low key boo game right.
Well, because their quarterback is Goffel.
Hey, you know what's funny?
Thank you.
For about 2 quarters, he was on fire.
That's what he does, though.
I was like, oh my God, he's on fire.
I'm telling you, he's one of the better 2.5 quarter quarterbacks.
He was
outside of like Kirk Cousins and some of those guys.
That game-winning touchdown, the walk-off, has changed my mind about Goffel because he can win a football game without Sean McVay.
Wow.
Yeah. Hey, do you know McVay has never lost 4 games in a row?
Well, just this past week, that was the first time Sean Payton had won. Lost 4 in a row, then 5 in a row.
I mean, that's...
In his career, which has been around since 2005.
Half a decade?
2005 with Payton.
Oh, McVay's been the head coach in L.A. since... probably half.
Yeah.
17?
That's pretty good for a pup.
Well, if they would have lost
four in 16 years. He had never won, lost hey, 4 in a row.
Payton's a dog, though. He's Hall of Fame.
Crazy.
If the Rams would have lost yesterday, you'd probably just like stop the season.
Yeah, but
Jacksonville's awful on the road.
So how can I not unsee, and maybe they have to do it without Gronk, but how can I not unsee how the Rams just whipped the Buccaneers?
Because they got number 12 in the backfield.
There's something weird about the Bucs. They will just lose. Like, remember last year, of course, obviously. Bears, Saints, like just got their asses whipped.
And just I'm telling you, if Gronk plays, there's a good chance they're winning. If Gronk doesn't play, there's a good chance they're losing.
Well, you got no love for Godwin? He had 15 catches yesterday.
Yeah,
he got banged up yesterday, too.
At some point, if he gets hurt, that AB situation may
He's banged
may
up right
dicey.
Now. He got hurt yesterday.
Well, I saw him getting up slower. Yeah. He was kind of doing the face.
But
he does that a little bit.
So as like ugly as they're playing and it looks ugly, their offense is actually more prolific than it was last year
because they're handing the ball off.
Fournette has been around a little bit longer and he's playing well all year long.
They get the Bills
from
next week.
That dude went from a DNP coach's decision to giving halftime speeches.
Yep.
I mean, how about that for a year later?
They get the Bills next week coming off whatever happens tonight.
Is that the Monday night? No, that's not the Monday
Sunday.
Sunday. Well,
Sunday
Monday
afternoon.
Night football's got back-to-back good games because it's, of course, the game tonight. And then next week is...
So actually, for,
Rams,
I got to be cheering for the Patriots because I don't want the Bills getting any more distance from the Steelers.
You get that great Bears-Packers matchup for Sunday night next week.
Well, I got right now it's Chiefs and Bills at Arrowhead.
And right now, I like those ugly orange Bear uniforms, man. They kind of have grown on me. Those tops, I thought they were mildly disgusting at first, but I'm kind of vibing with them now. Or maybe it was just Montgomery.
Hey, look at you morphing into a uniform guy.
Well, it's not. I mean, that's the only thing that drew me to Tennessee. I mean, they have some of the best color schemes in football.
You mean construction worker orange or the NFL team?
No, the Titans.
Oh.
Anytime you start, dabbling in that little bit of that Carolina blue and dark blue, that's good stuff. This is coming from a basic Steeler fan.
I know what you're talking about, my friend.
Hey, you guys, it seems like you guys haven't played for like 3 years.
No, but your head coach will get fined today, I bet.
He
responded to the NFL
salty on Twitter
last night.
Yeah.
That was, and he probably had a point. The officiating in that game was, oh my. What was the false start on Mahomes in the shotgun?
Oh, I know. I don't even know if I've seen that before.
What? What? They have to explain that call today.
Have you seen
that? No. But
I have seen a center go off sides.
Sure.
But
I saw a center yesterday lose a ball out of his hand, re-grip it, and they called false start on him. They called a legal snap on
him. That was the Ravens.
Because he lost the ball, then he got it back. That once he gets it back and resets, either you call it right then, or you let the play happen, right?
What was that? That was like a 20-some-yard loss.
It was weird because it slipped out of his hand, then he got it back. So why wouldn't you just let him run the play?
Well, how about the Cincinnati Los Angeles Charger game? Hockley,
when he said touchdown, and he's like, no.
Oops, my fault.
Well,
I'm sorry.
And then there was a little bit later.
I'm sorry.
He apologized for the delay.
Yeah.
We apologize for the delay, but the forward progress is not challengeable.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
Like, he was having a conversation with the crowd.
His crew calls so many penalties. His whole crew calls more penalties than anybody
else.
You
had one of the toughest crews going last night, though.
Well, they were just...
That was...
Was it ladies man? Because the lady man's crew, the ladies
Carl
man
Cheffers.
Crew,
no,
he calls
you're
a
talking
ton
about, why
too.
Why are you talking about my man Bogert?
He's a ladies man. I was calling there for a little bit of pickles on my fish sandwich. Like, what are you talking about?
Hey, that would have been funny if all the white hats all weekend long all had a southern accent.
He's growing out his facial hair, too. He's graying under there.
His crew calls a ton of penalties as well.
Well, whatever the Mahomes false start was in a shotgun... I have no idea what that call was.
Yeah, it's a struggle.
You know who they don't call it enough on, though, is place kickers. How many times have you seen a place kicker get set and then do something and then go? They never call that. That should be false start, too, because you're coming forward.
Oh, that's good, what it is.
Good luck. The first time somebody calls that, they'll lose their mind.
They should call it.
So you were kind of right. Okay, so it wasn't – I knew Jefferson scored on third down, but here's the distinction. Brian said – they didn't have to run the play before the 2-minute warning at the end.
Yeah.
And they did.
I saw math to where they could have gotten under a minute.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
They didn't have to run the play.
That's coaching. That's playing Madden and knowing how to do it in Madden.
Thank you, Brian. I needed that.
And you need some – I think every coach, no matter how good they are, needs somebody who is their clock, timeout, just basic decisions.
Isn't that used a lot of times? That will
person.
Be a lot of times that will be your quality control guy can do that. Does that sometimes?
I am going to pay somebody extra.
You know,
just
they had their little
that.
2-point conversion chart. They do timeouts. They
Dave Pasch was so pissed on Saturday. He had never heard of being down 14, scoring, and going for two. which happens in college and occasionally in the pros all the time now.
Listen, he was beside himself.
He's like, where does this even come from? I'm like, this happens quite a bit, dude. They wrote an entire white page on it.
I don't know. So, yeah, were you watching the Chargers-Bengals game?
Yes.
Did you hear the back and forth over going to nine from 31-22 to 30-22? And I was like, what are you guys
What is it? Why are you even thinking about going two? He wanted to get it to 10, right?
Yeah.
That's what he was trying to get it to, 10. I'm like, nine is good enough, buddy. Last time I looked, nine's fine.
Yeah.
I don't. I remember it was Jim.
Was that the Titans last year? And inexplicably, they ended up winning.
They were the first ones to ever do it.
And
they were the first ones ever to do it.
And went to overtime.
Yep.
Who was that against? Was it the Colts?
I can't tell you because the Titans go to overtime so frequently.
A lot, right, yeah.
But remember, it was the 2-point conversion differential instead of just kicking the extra point.
They were the
first
ones.
And their thing was
they
wanted the game over right then and there.
Yep, they were the first ones ever to do it.
I'm like, make them have to make the 2-point conversion.
They'd never had anybody up 7 go for 2 prior to that, which is crazy to think about.
Dude. Whatever happened to the index card? Remember, that was the rage.
Yeah.
Oh, what does the card say?
They still have the card. They still have it.
Who was
it? I know. It's the gutsiest decision to go for 2.
They came back and won it in overtime.
Because the one against the Colts is when they didn't get it, right?
90 yards and score at the end.
Because didn't the Colts win last year? They didn't get it? Like they went for 2 and they didn't make it?
Yeah, I think so.
And a matter of fact, Derrick Henry ran for a touchdown in overtime. I can see it now. They ended up winning by 6.
Yeah, that was it was early on in the year. Frank Reich made a mistake.
Yes, they made a mistake.
Yeah, it was the Colts.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know.
I'm getting confused with the Chargers game.
Yeah, they went for it in the middle of the field and didn't make it and gave him the ball back.
And then he inexplicably didn't kick the extra point. He went for 2 because he wanted the game over right then. So they gave the ball to Tennessee back with a minute, and they go down the field and score, and then they win it in overtime.
Good job.
Yeah, all these, you can say whatever you want about it. It's a math league now. A lot of it's a math league.
I like because now, the guys doing the game, they get mad.
He did. Pash was really upset.
Dude, the Bengals-Chargers game was good, too.
I don't think there's math for that.
Well, no, because all of a sudden it became math because you missed an extra point, and so all of a sudden it threw it off.
Yeah. Right.
So now you're at an 11-point lead,
but if
and it's really, really weak, or you're an 8-point lead.
They
so
get
it's
to two,
he was talking
they
about the
10.
Next score.
Yeah.
He was talking about what a field goal still makes
what
it a 2-score game.
Because if you do it then, it gets you to 10 to go for 2. If not, you're at 9 with the extra point. That was just weird.
Hey, how about it wasn't as good as my man Tony Romo uttering the phrase, they used to be good. Showing you flashes of why they used to be good. Still good, though. What?
He had a rough day yesterday.
What was he doing?
Yeah, he did have a rough day.
I can't stand the guy. He's so bad. Like, hey, there's a game going on. Just, hey, for the record, like, I care. I won't tune in for you. There's a game going on. Used to be good, shows you flashes, then go into break, because then he caught what he said. Like, oh, but he's still good, though. Nah, man. It's a wrap. Can't go back and get
CBS that. CBS likes him, $180 million.
Man, listen.
He's going to the College Football Hall of Fame tomorrow night.
Yeah, that's going to be a good deal.
You remember Tony Romo in college?
What did he win? Because you have to win something.
Eastern Washington?
You got to be first team.
Or something like that?
Eastern Illinois.
Illinois.
It.
Same school as
Charlie Spoonhauer's kid.
No.
Coach basketball there.
Sean Payton.
Okay.
Same school as Sean Payton. But what did he win?
I don't
know. Because you have to have a first team All-American.
I think he won the Harlan Hill
Award. Did he win it? Okay, I didn't know he won it.
That would be my guess. That'd be my guess.
The 1AA.
But
Heisman.
I don't remember him in. I remember
him at the combine
right?
thing.
Yeah.
But I don't remember him as being. I thought he was a throwing quarterback at the combine. Like, not even a real quarterback. I thought he was a throwing quarterback.
Stop.
Well, seriously, the guy who's got to go extra and extra and extra.
Tony Romo, I need some balls. I got to run some routes. Hey, can you get me?
Like, take the regular guys and move them off.
Hey, man, I'm 8-squared. I'm Harlan Hill. Boy. Yeah.
there is, like. Because there's so much, their roles, they're paid so much nowadays, and they're on display more than ever. Collinsworth, Romo, and Aikman, man, do they get taken through the ringer.
Yeah, it's always been like that for a long time.
And they all, and what, they're about, NBC's going to pay Collinsworth $12 million a year.
Some of it is self-inflicted,
though. Phil Sims took, he should have, but he took a lot of it. There are websites for him. Websites designed just to put his stuff in there.
It's like 3rd and 4 with 4 minutes to go, my man. play of the game so far, in my opinion. A lot riding here. Okay. I don't know.
Again, he's not, I tell you this all the time, he's not appealing to you. He's appealing to just the general fan that goes, oh, yeah. Yeah, you're right. I gotcha.
Hey, my man was like, look, Louie call, Louie. That means they're going to slide left. No kidding. Ooh, but that's so cool. Look how they slid
left. Hey, I've learned a lot this year. Him and Nance have done a lot of Chiefs games. Well, I've learned.
God. And Nance just lets him go.
Well, because I think that's part of, that's good. That's a good job as a play-by-play guy, is just letting your color guy go.
Can you remind me that it's third and six, though? Or tell me that's, you know, second and seven.
It's right on the bottom of the screen.
You're talking into the play.
Right at the bottom of the screen.
I ain't gonna lie. You don't need announcers anymore with everything that's on the screen.
But that's an appeal of Romo.
I don't need anybody to let him go during the screen.
Yeah. They've opened that door and.
Oh. Yeah, I guess.
It's funny. The guy I can't stand and that bothers me the most during a game, and I'd listen to him yesterday, is the defensive back for the Buccaneers. Ron. With the twin brother.
Rondae Barber.
Drives me crazy more than anybody.
What game was he
on.
Doing? Because Tiki was doing the Seahawks game.
I was just like, every time I heard his voice, I was like, "Oh, come on."
Have you listened to Tlaib yet?
Yeah, that one night. Remember they had him with
Tlaib is different.
Oh yeah, you know what?
Okay,
but it sounds like he's having a conversation.
Tlaib go. He doesn't even have to have.
Okay, so he
sounds like he's having a conversation.
He's perfect
with
Gus Johnson.
Yes,
yeah. and
because both of them are horrible.
Yeah,
wow.
Because Gus is horrible.
So they just let. That's the appeal they want of Tlaib is,
sure, I get
is
it.
Just uncensored.
Say whatever you want.
Yep. Yeah. For 3 hours.
I mean, even sentence structure.
How often does Gus get?
You don't have to.
How often does Gus get anything right? Like he didn't even try. Gus doesn't even try.
Hey,
he just yells.
Did you see Gus?
I like Gus.
Did you see
though.
Gus down on the field celebrating with the Michigan players?
Yeah.
Gus doesn't even
little,
try.
Hey, that was.
Doesn't even try.
Kind of awkward. His gear though, man.
He's so little. He wears kid stuff. He came into
I like
the,
his he came I in like his
he, he's about this
schemes.
Big. He's about this big. So I'm like, oh, you're obviously shopping in the kids stuff.
So where was
America?
Where were we?
Big 12.
When we saw
shot clock off.
David Ubman. Now that was a little guy. Was it
he's a little guy, but he's actually has like early onset dwarfism or something. He's got something. He's got a thing. Look
yeah,
at his
I'm
fingers.
Not touching that because I
look
don't
at his
know.
Face.
I'm
it's
not
true.
Even
he's
going
got there. Something. Look at his fingers.
Nope.
Wow.
Nope.
Nope. I spent 3 years taking genetics courses. He's got something. I don't know what it is, but he's got something.
You asked?
No, genetic courses, I look at them, I can tell. You do enough of that stuff, you know, whether it's Fragile X or something like that, you can just look and tell.
What does Josh have?
Josh, which Josh?
Right here.
Well, I can tell you one thing. Can I see your ears?
Wow.
Okay, so one of the genetic markers is detached or attached earlobes. And then there's widow peak. And then there's hitchhiker thumb. And then there's the pinky.
Right,
so there's like seven genetic markers.
Okay. So
widow's peak means you're smart
serial
normally.
Killer later in life? What are we talking here?
Widow's peak means you're smart normally. Yeah. But he's got something genetic. I don't know what it is. David Ubman has something like that. I don't remember which one it is.
On that note.
No offense, David.